The text is John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who doesn't know that misbehaving children get a lump of coal in their Christmas stocking? And who would want concrete for Christmas? I do. Increase Mather, a Puritan preacher, predicted in the 17th century, quote, "We shall come to have no Christ but a light within, and no heaven but a frame of mind." A 20th century Christian goes on to say, "In the 18th and 19th centuries, scientific materialism was to triumph, and the pious were to find that all the concreteness had left their religion, leaving nothing behind but a light within and a frame of mind." I don't know about you, but my light within has all but been doused by all things pandemic without, and my mind within is framed by worry, falsehoods, and false hopes. I need concrete for Christmas. Remember the scene from Superman where his father Jor-El is putting the baby Superman in a spaceship to send him to the earth? Well, that's our text. God steps into his creation today concretely, and the Word was made flesh. The Word that was in the beginning, before all time and space, the Word that existed in the eternal halls of God and was himself God, was sent to earth today. Only it was our planet that was exploding with sin, death, and devils. J.B. Phillips said in 1957 that we live on a visited planet. 17th century Lutheran Johann Gerhard said, "Jesus was born an alien in a stall." Only like Superman, the visitor from an alien realm wasn't an alien. He was made flesh. The one who before the beginning was with God and was God was made flesh. Hebrews 1:3 says, "Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the exact image of his person." According to Hebrews 10:5, animal sacrifices and offerings were not able to satisfy the wrath of God, pay for sins, or redeem flesh and blood men. Then Jesus says in triumph, "A body thou hast prepared for me." And no words about how God loved us, forgave us, and saved us would do. French poet Mallarmé said in an 1890s sonnet, "The flesh is sad, and I've read all the books." Faust, 100 years before him, said, "All the books are dust, not life." Us 21st century brooding, moody, emo types have nothing on the 19th or 18th century ones before us. Whether our angst is about existence or how we can know anything at all, better minds than ours have plowed this ground and found no relief in the books of men. So the Word became flesh. Notice John does not say the Word became man. That's not concrete enough for us who confess to look for the resurrection of dead bodies. Dead, decayed to dust bodies. Ancient creeds wanted to nail down that the Word came to redeem this flesh and blood right here. In our very flesh and blood, the battle was to be joined, fought, and won. So we confess that Jesus was born from the Virgin Mary. And we further explain in the later Athanasian Creed, that means from the substance of the mother. Rather than simply through her, from the substance of the mother. To not only visit, but to redeem our planet from sin, death, and devil that were destroying it, God, the Word, became flesh and took up concrete residence among us. You've heard from me that word dwelt is literally the Greek tabernacle, pitched a tent or tented. From that, you could think I meant a temporary residence, a flimsy dwelling, one that would eventually be taken down. My bad. The general meaning of that word is to take up one's abode with the suggestion of a long or permanent dwelling. It doesn't suggest a temporary or transient one. Then why use that word at all, right? Well, that word takes you back to the Old Testament church. There, God commanded a tabernacle. That's the noun for our Greek verb in the Old Testament. He commanded a tabernacle be pitched for him to dwell with his people in the wilderness. He never commanded that an immovable building of stone be built. The Lord pitched his tent among the shifting tents of his people and shared in the 40 years of chastisement he gave them for not trusting him. Tented tabernacle that goes back to the Old Testament church and goes forward into eternity. Revelation 7:15 says, "And he who sits on the throne will dwell," that's tent, tabernacle, "among them." Revelation 21:3 says, "The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell," tabernacle, tent, "with them forever." When Jor-El sends his son to earth, the vehicle is a spaceship. When God sends his son, the vehicle is flesh and blood. You know what a big deal it is if someone special moves into your neighborhood? Imagine if Matthew McConaughey or Sandra Bullock, both Austin residents, were to move into your neighborhood. Well, how about if just life-size cutouts popped up in your local 7-Eleven? Jesus moving into not just your neighborhood, but your flesh is like the first. Let me illustrate. A brat of a girl terrorizes the children's Christmas program practices. She stomps up to the manger when it's her turn to proclaim, each time, "It's just a doll." For the program, though, a real baby is used. The brat stomps up to the manger, but this time she stiffens, awestruck, then turns, eyes wide with wonder, and hurries back saying, "He's alive." Like ripples in a pond, the word passes from pew to pew all the way to the back of the sanctuary. He's alive, alive, alive. Your God came down from heaven and lives in your flesh and ever lives there to intercede, to help, to forgive you all that your conscience is afraid of, all the things you can't imagine being really completely forgiven for. Luther, writing to Katie from the place he would die, knowing that she was worried about him, said, "Free me from your worries. I have a caretaker who is better than you and all the angels. He lies in the cradle and rests on the Virgin's bosom, and yet, nevertheless, he sits at the right hand of God the Almighty Father. Therefore, be at peace." That concrete enough for you? God in heaven is born today of flesh and blood to do for us concretely what only God can do: rescue us from living from a light within and a mere frame of mind. A talk radio host said this week, "Someone has to say something concretely about the real dangers or not of COVID overall, so we don't all sit staring at the bottom of the TV screen wondering, am I about to die? No light that I can generate from within me does anything to dispel that darkness. And the only frame of mind I can maintain is one of doubt, uncertainty, and haunting fear. But our text dispels darkness and renews our minds." And the last of the three "and" clauses of our text, which must be read together like this: "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth." That last "and" clause is made convoluted in most translations. It can be translated this way: "The Word made flesh glory is the full gift of the truth of God's glory." Luther observed that when God speaks in the language of his majesty, then no human can hear it and live. Christ, as a man, speaks in a way that can be endured, and his voice is kind and full of love. Stop listening for the voice of God in the world, whether from tornadoes plowing through the Midwest, government officials speaking from podiums, or the consensus that you find repeated ad nauseum from whatever social media outlets you choose to go to. Only in Christ does God speak, so you can hear and understand Him. Outside the flesh and blood, Jesus, would you touch in baptism? Would you hear in absolution? Would you eat and drink in communion? Outside of that flesh and blood, Jesus, you will only find the false gods of the world or the true God in His majesty. Either way, you're toast. The first destroys you from within with fear, doubt, or worry. The second destroys you from without, as Zeus did Semele, his human lover. Hera, that's Zeus' goddess wife, is jealous and makes Semele doubt it's really Zeus that's coming to her. She induces her then to ask Zeus to come arrayed in all his splendors, such as he wears in heaven. Well, Zeus doesn't put on all his terrors, but what is known as his lesser Penelope. He enters Semele's room. Her mortal frame could not endure the splendor of his immortal radiance. She was consumed to ashes. The glory of God that you see in who Jesus is and in what he does is that the law, which can always and only accuse you, has been kept by Jesus in your place. The glory of God you are shown in the person and work of Jesus is that God took out all of his wrath against sins and sinners, even you, especially you, on the flesh and blood Jesus. God is glorified when you laugh at the death and devil stalking you concretely by setting against them the concrete holy life and guilty death of Jesus in your flesh and blood. God is glorified by you daring to believe that you partake of the divine nature through the babe born of Mary in a concrete place, time, body, and soul. 2 Peter 1:4 says, through exceedingly great and precious promises, you may be partakers of divine nature. Hear those promises. As many as you who have been baptized, you have put on Christ. Whoever hears a faithful pastor hears the voice of Jesus himself. Listen to all the pundits you want, YouTubers and CDC people, but know that not one of them has been called by God to speak to you for him, but me. Finally, you partake of the divine nature by eating and drinking his body and blood in your space and time at this altar. According to Luther, we are as close to the Lord in the physical and spiritual eating and drinking in Holy Communion as Mary was who bore him, as the shepherds were who beheld him, as Simeon was who carried him in his arms. Historically, communion wafers have been embossed at Christmas time with a little baby Jesus tightly wrapped in swaddling clothes. You are not doomed to keeping this little light of yours shining. Sure, as contemporary music first taught us in 1969, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, but try to get even a spark of faith in this downpour of gloom and gloom today, and you're not doomed to only having heaven in a right frame of mind. In 1954, English poet John Benjamin wrote a poem, Christmas, about getting caught up with all the frills of Christmas. Here's the last verse. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple shaking bells can with this simple truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. Today, we can paraphrase. No virus that on earth doth dwell, not much testing in sterile air, not all the fear-mongering news can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine, concretely, forgiving, blessing, and saving. Amen. We continue now.